There is only one power, one infinite intelligence. That one power comes by many names and in many ways, and whatever we call it, it's one thing. It's the energy of life itself that flows through us, in us, as us, right here, right now, and always. That one power generates love, light, life, all of the goodness of our lives, and it is the stuff of which we're made. Knowing that, I open my heart, my mind, and my awareness ready for a good experience of life, some better ideas, and some good knowing about myself. During this time together, I open up in love, ready for something new. In that truth and in that awareness, I let this be, and so it is. So welcome, everyone. Glad you're here. And way back there, but that's okay. You're right where you usually sit. Just the ones down here aren't here. You know, in the old days, my teacher, Kennedy Schultz, used to say, if you want to thin out your congregation, talk about sex. Well, we're not talking about sex today. We're talking about your body. Maybe that's even more uncomfortable. I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do with anything except that the sun's shining and it snowed yesterday. Who knows? But what I invite you to do is join me not in seeing the empty seats, but seeing the spiritual beings that can fill all of these seats and see this place as filled with people who are looking for a better way of life, a better way of knowing, a better way of being. So join me in that. I realize in a room this size, it feels a little weird sometimes to be in this kind of vacant, lots of room around you. For those who like space, that's a good thing. But for the rest of us, just see this place as full. Because what you see, as we're going to talk, and what you believe, is what becomes real. And what becomes action. And shows up. So if you will join me in that process. And I can say that because I think most of us are kind of home folks. And there's a couple of new people. And we welcome you. We're glad you're here. Welcome you whether you're here for the first time or the 499th time. But for all of us, it's the first time today. So it's the first time today to sit down together with like-minded people and think about some ideas, maybe in a different way than you have before. It's the first time today to have an opportunity to open your heart and mind to something greater than you've known or felt or seen before. So I invite you to be fully present to that, to let go of all preconceived notions about what this is and what it isn't, and be present to this time, this place, and this space, this moment. We are a community of people who say we're like-minded. We are like-minded in that we honor the truth of every person. We honor the reality of who you are and how you show up in the world. We don't accept you. Sorry, if you want to be accepted, you're in the wrong place. If you want to be honored and celebrated for who you are, that we do. And I'll talk about that more later. So whoever you are, whatever your name, however you hang up your labels and all of that, we honor and celebrate you, and we're glad you're here. Yeah, it's good. Invite you to consider making this your home. After the service today, I'll be having some time down front to have a conversation with anyone interested in that and what's involved in it. But for right now, I'm inviting you to be present to this time, this space, and this place. So in terms of what we are and who we are, we follow a set of beliefs and ideas, and we do them to whatever percentage we do based on our ability and our willingness and our agreement. So one of the ways that we look at that every week is to read it together and see if this matches who we are and what we are. Ignore him. So, if you'd like to join me in reading the Declaration of Principles, I invite you to stand. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Thank you. Have a seat. He's not there anymore. Okay, good. So that you don't only hear from one voice, one consciousness, one idea, each week I have a different practitioner come up and share so that you get to hear from folks who have studied this teaching, who know how to use it to change their lives and use it as being available for other people. So I invite you to listen with me as Lee shares with us from his wisdom. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Try again. Thank you, Bob. And thank you, Vance, for getting everything going. You know, there's so much going on in this time of year. There is a holiday coming up, but it seems like the holidays are busy and it really doesn't settle down much until we get past through February. And with Valentine's Day coming up, for those of you that forgot, there's your reminder. Keep you from getting in trouble. And so it's then it's a season. Bob's going to talk about this, a season of peace, a season of nonviolent behavior, the season of love. Lots of things happening right now. And Bob talked about speaking from wisdom. I'm not sure if that's from me or not. But the great book of wisdom today has changed. It's called Facebook. And I found this reading, post that says, live your life, take chances, be crazy. Don't wait, because right now is the oldest you've ever been, and it is the youngest you will ever be again. I have lots of good friends on Facebook, a lot of them in this teaching, and I get a lot of really good thoughts that come through each day as I get in there and look around. But I want to read from a little bit older text, and that's the Science of Mind textbook. And sometimes I forget that within the textbook, there are some meditations in the back that are really amazing. And for just about any need that you have, there are meditations. About a quarter of the book actually has meditations in it that are fantastic. If you haven't had a chance to look at it for a while, it might be good to look at it again. But on page 525, speaking of action, it says, one with perfect action. I am one with perfect action. Everything that I do, say, or think is quickened into action through the right understanding and this correct knowing. The harmonious action of the great whole operates through me now and at all times. I am carried along by the right action, and I am compelled to do the right thing at the right time. There is nothing in me that can hinder this action from flowing through me. The action of God is the only action. Think about the action that you need to take. Think about going ahead and being a little bit crazy and having a bit of fun, because you are older and hopefully wiser than what you were when I stepped up here and Bob and I stepped on the stage this morning. And you'll continue to grow. And the universe just continues to feed us information. So let's, affirmative prayer is what we call a treatment, and it's a spiritual mind treatment. And Bob did one already, and we'll do another one now. And again, we speak in the first person because I cannot treat your mind. You have to treat your own mind. I will speak out loud my treatment for my mind, and together we will grow. If something in it does not resonate with you, let it go. And if something does, bring it into your own consciousness. Please relax, uncross your arms and legs, and get everything off your lap so you can be present. And join with me if you will. I know that there is one source, one creator, one beginning, one first cause to all things. I call this first cause source. the source of all there is. Because in the beginning, there was just source. There was just a word of source. Out of a desire to create love, source expressed itself. And there was nothing else to build from except itself. So out of source became all that we see, all that we touch, all that we are. Each person, each thing in my universe, including me, is one with source. There is no separation. There is no duality. God is within me. The power of right thinking, the power of right action, the power of love is within me. Today, I look at the things that I am, and I know that the words I am are the most powerful in the human English language. So when I say I am source, I am powerful, I am taking right action, I know that is true. I know that the actions that I take are in the right direction because the thoughts that I have create my personal experience. So I think the positive things in life. I think the joyful things in life. I let the contrast come in. I let the concerns come in. And those give me a point to turn from. I know that these points that I turn from point me in the direction of what is wonderful and beautiful in life. And what is wonderful and beautiful in life, what is love, multiplies abundantly in the world around me. I know this. I believe this. There is nothing that can get in its way. So today and in the coming week, I think good thoughts of positive things coming my direction, and I don't let anything get in my way. I do take action. I do take crazy action because each moment is precious, and there is nothing but time ahead of me, nothing but love around me, nothing but joy in my personal experience. So I release these words knowing that love, joy, happiness, and a little bit of craziness comes into my life because it is all good and we are all good. And so it is. Music.
Lots of minutes, lots of seconds, seasons of love. Well, the talk title, all of the talk titles for this year, by the way, are coming from the a committee that put together all of our themes and all of our ideas. So I didn't necessarily write these. I was given credit for it a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to let you know I didn't do it. So you can't, but I'm still responsible, right? And a friend of mine once said, you know, never let a talk title disrupt what you want to say. So I plan on that as well. So the title today is, Your Body is Not an Apology. And when I first read that, my first thought was, my body should be apologizing to me. Anybody else ever feel like that? I think I'm going along, taking great care of it, doing what I should be doing, and all of a sudden I get a surprise. The ticker goes silly, or my foot swells up, or my nose itches, or some other weirdness happens in the body, or it starts to look like somebody other than me. You've all heard those things about you look in the mirror and there's somebody else between you and yourself looking back. They got old, or they got wrinkled, or they got whatever. Well, all of those kinds of thoughts kick in sometimes and have me wanting to say and thinking, there's no apology here except my body needs to apologize to me for messing with me. And of course we know from this teaching that that's a little distorted, possibly. Often with what I discover in living my life and in living my life from this perspective, is that when I first get exposed to something, what comes up, what pops up in my automatic response, more often than I'd like to admit, is a reality or based on a reality that's not the truth. But it's what I've heard, or what I'm bombarded with, or what I keep hearing all the time. And this is based on a book, by the way. If you're interested in going further with this idea, it's a very interesting book by the same title, which is all about looking at our bodies not as something to apologize for or to feel bad about, but something to celebrate. It's not even something to accept. It goes way past acceptance. Okay, I'm going to accept that I'm this tall and I'm this fat. But if I go to celebration, that's another whole thing. I said to the guys up when we were wiring me up this morning, I always put my little gizmo in my pocket instead of clipping it on my belt. Because I have this beautiful, marvelous deposit of body fat that just pops that thing off of my belt every time I sit down. If I put it on that clip, that's what happens. It's gone. I have to fumble for it. It falls. The thing comes out. You guys see me stumble around with this thing quite often. Well, I can turn that into some guilt and shame and not say anything about it, or I can choose to just celebrate the fact that I have a very efficient body. It stores everything. You know, one candy bar, and I can see it. Of course, that's more than one candy bar, but we won't go there. So the idea here, though, is we get into all of this stuff in our heads about our bodies based on all of the crazy stuff we hear and see in the world. So maybe instead of my body punishing me or doing something to me, maybe it's just getting me back for the way I've been treating it. I don't like that idea much either, but I think there's some reality to it. You know, maybe the most powerful thing we do in our lives, and we know this is in this teaching, we know this is as a religious scientist, is what we say and what we think on a regular basis. What we create in our minds about anything in life. If you start seeing and seeing and saying the same things about the same things, those start showing up. Couples that have been together for years and years and years and years and years, who really love and honor and appreciate each other, quite often start looking like each other. You ever notice that after time? In their later years, when their bodies start to shift and change to match their consciousness even more, they look like, wow. So what we think and say about our bodies and about ourselves becomes really important. This is the season of nonviolence. I had changed that last week to the season of peace because I like that idea better. It's sweeter, right? And it's nicer, and it's more acceptable. But the truth is, this needs to be a season of nonviolent behavior where we choose to create in our lives on a day-to-day basis a non-violent approach to life. There's some wonderful material about non-violent communication that I've taught classes on in the past, and I'm going to do that again here. And the reason that's important is the way I talk to myself is far more violent than I ever care to admit. Anybody ever do that? You stupid... Say that out loud, never. Say it to somebody else, probably not. But we rarely talk about anyone else as mean and viciously as we talk about ourselves. Now, you guys, many of you have been around this teaching a long time, and I'd like to I believe that you've outgrown a lot of that, and you've come a long way on it. I have too. But it still can be a problem because we get bombarded with so many things that tell us how we should be. Things like, you're too fat. I should get rid of this so I can wear the clip on my belt where it's supposed to be. You're too thin. You're too brown. Too black? There are all sorts of measures. You're too red. My father, my stepfather was a redhead. And they called him Red. And when I came out to him as a gay man the first time, and this is a guy with a third grade education, truck driver, sweetheart, he said to me, he sat for a long time, didn't say anything. And then he said, well, you know, I grew up as a redhead. You wouldn't know it now because I'm white, but I was a redhead. And I caught hell for being a redhead. It was not popular where I lived to be a redhead. And I had a hard time with that. And I figured that's kind of what you're going to do. And you'll find a way to live with it just like I did. It's the kindest, sweetest, most loving response I could have imagined. Everybody else in my family is flipping out and freaking out. He's like, I know what it's like to be a redhead. See, we have all these messages. Now, that's less of a thing now. Now it's kind of becoming chic, you know, to be a ginger. Yeah, right? Okay. But then there's the olive skin. There's all these things about how we're shaped. We're too tall. We're too short. We're too fat. We're too thin. We don't fit this image that we're bombarded with about life and about what we should look like and how we should look. Well, I want to know who decided what the perfect human being should look like. We act as if somebody did, and somebody knows. Now we see pictures, and you know, it's so interesting over time how we train ourselves to see beauty in different ways. We see certain pictures today that we know are like, that's the way one should look. That's really cool. That looks really hot. Looks really great. Oh, it's a beautiful look. And it may be totally different from what the view was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And it may not have anything to do with any kind of real thing. Remember Twiggy? I was like the thing. Well, Twiggy's not in now because Twiggy had a whole lot of problems. And to maintain that Twigginess, she developed a lot of struggles and difficulties around food. And yet so many young people, women, men, both, end up doing these horrendous things to ourselves in order to look the way we think the rules say we should look. The way we think those, whoever decided what a beautiful body is supposed to be, is supposed to look. See, our bodies we don't live in our bodies, by the way. You may think you do, but if you close your eyes and you meditate for a while, you begin to be aware that there's a you-ness, a selfness that isn't contained in that space. And you can't always tell where your body starts and stops. And it isn't just because your eyes are closed. It's because you're tapping into to the energy that you are that is far bigger than your physical body. We can measure it now with all sorts of, I don't remember the name of the technology, but you can measure where people's auras start and stop, where the energy begins and ends for you. You're an electronic being first, and the physicality of it is simply how it anchors us in space and time. Our body is just the opportunity to move our consciousness into space and time and have all of the wonderful physical experiences that go with it. It was in this teaching where I first heard that desire is a good thing. It's okay to desire what you desire. Holy Moses! I'd grown up with this whole notion that if you love it and you like it and you want it, it's probably a sin. Right? Anybody else have that thing, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You mean it's okay to do what feels good? Now we're going to do a whole lot more talking about that in a couple of weeks, but right now, just capture that idea that your body lives inside of you. And it shows up exactly according to the way you've been talking to it. And I'm not talking just about how well we eat and sleep and care for ourselves physically. Those are really important things. I'm not making them less than. But what's equally or maybe more important is what are you saying about it to yourself, regardless of what you're saying to anybody else. What are you saying about how you look, about how you feel? Do you ever just look in the mirror and really look at your body and go, wow, I'm gorgeous. Just because it's mine. Just because it's mine. Listen to what Ernest says. One of the most important things for us to remember is that we are always causing something to be created for us. We are always causing something to be created for us, and that whatever cause we have set in motion must produce some kind of effect. And we're causing it by our thinking, by our believing, by our knowing. And so when I start thinking and believing and knowing that I'm all of this bad stuff or all of that bad stuff or not as good as I should be or shouldn't be or all of those kinds of negative things, my body starts to show up just like we expect it to. Now, often we get hit by things we don't expect. But if you dig around long enough, and it isn't necessarily related to a particular thing you didn't believe the way you could have, but if it shows up, it's in some kind of response to some kind of belief that you've got going in motion about life and your life. What about your heart? How does your heart respond? How are you feeling about the love and the flow of love in your life? What do you say to yourself about it? I'm brokenhearted. I've been brokenhearted for 35 years. Surprise! It shows up. It may not show up in your heart, your physical heart, but it'll show up somewhere in a sense of brokenness within us. Somewhere it pops up. See, the energy, back to Ernest, the energy of mind, like other natural energies, already exists. This isn't something we have to make happen. It's already going on, and we're living in the middle of it. We merely use it, and it is within our providence to use it in any way we may desire. We have it within our power to cause it to take varying forms for us. No one form is particularly permanent. Anybody that's over 20 knows that, right? Our bodies change. They shape. They change shape. They change because we don't need them to be the same shape. We need them to be different. We need them to carry us in a different way. We need to be carried through life in a different way. Here's the rest of this. We have it within our power to cause it to take varying forms for use. No particular one is permanent. And the imagination is what's creative. How do you imagine yourself? See, that's where we get in so much trouble. Because what we're being hit with in all of this data that comes at us on all of the various methodologies through the TV, through the computer, through the magazine pictures, through all of it, is telling us inviting us to imagine ourselves very differently than the way we are. We're not being invited to imagine ourselves as right and perfect and good and beautiful just the way we are. We're invited to imagine ourselves as needing to do this, that, or the other to improve, or buy this or that product, or go some other way or place. I mean, you know all this. And what I'm suggesting is we need to get radical about imagining ourselves beautiful, imagining ourselves strong, imagining ourselves exactly as we should be. Not what we need to do to change in order to be okay. Right? Makes sense? So stop apologizing for your body. I got some stops to go through here. Stop apologizing for the way you look. Stop apologizing for anything about your physicality. I'm not talking just about your physical body here, but the whole body of your life, the physical expression of your life. Stop defending its limitations. Well, you know, I need to defend this. I need to apologize. And it's so much bigger than what we say. It's how we think and how we feel. Do you feel like an apology? Do you find yourself wishing you could hide and go away? Stop simply trying to accept it. Go the next step. Celebrate that little roll of fat. I've been debating whether telling this story, but I think I will. I think I may have told it once before, and I debated then. Some years ago, not many, I was really struggling with this body image stuff and realizing how much shame I still carried because of some childhood events, some other events. So I went to Harbin Hot Springs out in California. I have talked about this because somebody else has been there and they told me about it. And Harbin Hot Springs is clothing optional. It is a meditation center. It's Hindu in terms of the practices they do. But at the pool, in the pool area, you must maintain silence. And it's clothing optional. It took me about 4 days to take anything off because I felt really weird. And when I finally got to that point, taking something off and feeling really okay about that, I got in the big pool that's shared by lots of people, and a woman got in the water next to me, and I recognized her as a practitioner from another center. And I went, oh, crap. Vivacious, beautiful in every way that I can call it that. And then she stood up in the water and both breasts were gone from surgery. And I was kind of taken aback. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, I know. I'm here to celebrate how beautiful I am and completely let go of any idea that my beauty is dependent on any external form. It's only dependent on my own consciousness. We spent the rest of the week together, back and forth talking and sharing, and she shared how it was going for her and being in that kind of space, the reaction she would get from people. And I came to see physical bodies in a way I'd never seen them before. Different shapes and colors and wrinkle combinations and saggy places that begin to look really beautiful. Because it's not about the external form. That's secondary. What's primary is our consciousness and our consciousness awareness. Abraham Lincoln said, every man is responsible for every wrinkle on his face. And that goes much bigger than that. We are responsible for what we look like because our physical bodies live within our real selves. And instead of feeling bad about them or not celebrating them or making them just okay, how about just celebrating the hell out of the good news that you are? You are where you are because you've lived well, because you've learned to cope with a world full of nonsense. And you've done that with ease and grace, and you've done it with struggle at times, and you've found all the things that go with that. What if you just celebrated yourself for who you are? What if you really dressed the way you wanted to? You'd probably all show up in sweats and shorts, right? I might, some Sundays. What if we just loved ourselves the way we are? Because it's who we are and what we are, and you are the center of the divine for you. There is nothing and no one else who has a right to tell you any limiting idea about yourself. So we recognize what a beautiful vehicle we are, that this is a physical What if we started praising our uniqueness? Nobody grows a fat roll just like mine. What if I praise that? Nobody grows one like yours. Nobody sags in the same places the same way. And nobody's perky in the same places the same way. What if you just celebrated all of that? What if you just celebrated the joy of knowing you are alive and you're just fine, you're better than fine, just the way you are? See, your body is not an apology. Your body is a unique, beautiful, and fantastic expression of the truth of who you are. And the reality of life unfolding in amazing, wonderful ways. And you're wonderful. And so am I. And so it is. Thank you. So tell at least one person today something that you love about yourself physically, something you've maybe perhaps said you didn't love in the past. Now, we're not having coffee afterwards for you to stick around and do that, but try it. So I invite you to spend a few moments with me in meditation. So we're going to turn away from all of the chitter-chatter around us, from the even from what you've been thinking about, what I'm saying. Turning away from the noise, from the outer expression of anything, and turning to the truth within you. What you know to be true about yourself, for yourself. And just settle for a few moments into that quiet awareness. That feeling of who you are that is bigger. Bigger than your physical limitations. That's bigger than the boundaries that you have been aware of in the past. And knowing that you are the divine, I am the divine. I am an expression, an opportunity for the oneness that is God to show up in this moment, in this place, at this time. I have the right and the responsibility and the power to declare what is good, what is beautiful, what is powerful. And at this moment, I let my mind drift to some part of me that I have declared not good, that I have thought of as ugly, limited, lacking in some way. And as my mind drifts to that part of me, I choose, I use my freedom of choice and imagination to imagine that part of me as beautiful, perfect, powerful, just the way it is. Don't need to change it to be anything else. And I let that power and beauty go deep within me, deep into my consciousness. So that all of me recognizes that, recognizes the good that I am. This is my truth. I am grateful for it. I celebrate it. And so it is. Thank you. Deep breath. All the mirrors are going away right now until you're ready for them. And I lost one of my cards. Here we go. So I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for everything you have done in contributing to this center and contributing to our being present here. You contribute your time, your attention, the most valuable things you have to give, and you contribute your money, and I'm grateful for that. So I want to thank you for that, and I want to let you know that as you embrace that flow of goodness, that flow of life to this center, through you, and back to you, whatever you're giving, whatever you're doing is going to be multiplied in its return to you. It's going to get bigger if you choose for it to be, and if you choose to believe it. So thank you. I invite you to join me, if you will, in our prosperity affirmation. You'll find it in your program on the back side or on the wall behind me. So here it is. And you remain seated, that's fine. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Thank you.